Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Man on the Mic podcast, hosted by Jeffrey Mann. This podcast is dedicated to honest discussions that inspire, connect, and bring out the best in our guests. Now let's get started with the show. Here's your host, Jeffrey Mann.
What's up, everyone? Hey, welcome back to another episode of Man on the Mic. I'm joined by a friend of mine, Easton Simpson. A lot of you know him from social media. I'm going to give him a chance to introduce himself.
Yeah, my name's Easton Simpson, just like he said, also known as the Mumble Kid, the kid that does all the mumble interviews. I'm an aspiring YouTuber, TikToker, all the above.
Famous in Utah County.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
I don't know how you work out because everyone be talking to you every 5 minutes. I'm like, guys, just let him get his workout in. He's trying to get through 75 hard.
For sure.
So kind of where I want to start, and I know everyone's curious, is where did this mumbling begin? Like, where did the idea pop into your head?
Yeah.
What got you started with that?
So, dude, in high school, I used to think it was so funny just to get my friends to say what. So I would just, like, speak a bunch of gibberish. And my friends would always ask me to do it. They're like, yo, do it to this kid. Do it to this kid. And so I just, like, did it all the time. And I filmed a couple of YouTube videos where I did it. But, like, when I filmed it, I didn't really know what I was doing. So it was, like, pretty poor quality. And then I started gaining some traction on TikTok. And I was just, like, I just ran out of ideas. I was like, what could I do? And I was filming a documentary with my friend Nick at BYU.
Okay.
And he had this microphone. And I was like, maybe I'll go do interviews and I'll try the mumbling bit again, but in interview style. And it just hit, bro. It just did so well. Events started bringing me out to promote their events. And so they kind of just took off from there.
They're mumbling to everybody. So I guess, who are the top three people that you've mumbled to?
Logan Paul.
Okay.
He's one of the big ones. And I guess also Jake Paul. They're both pretty cool. And then for me, one that was really special was Nyjah Houston,
The
professional skater. Okay. I grew up watching him skate, so that one was super awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Who's next on the list then, I guess?
Dude, it was supposed to be Mike Tyson this weekend, but I guess they texted me. They said he's not doing interviews for this Jake Paul fight, so they didn't end up bringing me out. So
He's locked in.
He is locked in, yeah.
So then I got to ask, who are you taking in the fight?
Dude, that's a tough question. Who are you taking?
Tyson. I got to. I'm like, Tyson, knock him out, please.
He's the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to put my money on Mike Tyson, but I really want Jake Paul to win.
See, I don't think they could let Mike Tyson lose.
Right.
Like, I feel like it's going to be scripted that he's got to win somehow because that would destroy his legacy.
Yeah. Did you see the videos of him training?
Yeah.
Bro, he is a beast.
Oh, still. He's insane.
He's almost 60, but he's a beast.
Yeah. I'm like, this dude's coming. I'm like, please don't have a heart attack in the ring.
Right.
Freaking pass out. Yeah. Are you going down to the fight?
I'm not. Okay. I was going to make my way out there, but I got to go. I got to go to California this weekend, so I'm going to watch it from there.
Okay. I guess we'll see what happens on Friday.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So I guess the big thing for me is when I meet people who are on social media and doing different things, and whether it's interviewing people or they have a trend that they do, I want to learn a little bit about Easton away from the mumbling.
Yeah.
Who's the kid behind the TikToks and the YouTube?
Uh-huh.
What do you like to do for fun when you're not doing that? What interests do you have?
So I grew up playing sports. I played basketball, football, baseball, kind of through high school. I ended up tearing my rotator cuff, so I kind of fell out of baseball. I kind of fell out of love with basketball, trying to like compete with all the other kids, like playing competitively. So I kind of fell out of sports, and my friends at the time, they were super into like snowboarding, skateboarding, and more of the extreme sports. And so I kind of started to fall in love with that.
Okay.
And as I started to learn, I was also getting into video creation. So I would just pull out my camera and I would just make videos doing all of those extreme sports, just vlogs with my friends. And that's how it all started. I remember we went to Lake Powell. I made the first vlog, and I loved it. It was so much fun. And so my dream 5-6 years ago was to do YouTube, kind of filming me and my friends doing extreme sports. Mm-hmm. And then over time, I kind of just started to realize that in order to tell a story, you kind of have to like branch off and do like some type of prank, some type of interviews, because that's what all the big dogs were doing. And so that's the route that I've kind of taken right now. But what I love to do is just go outside with my friends and have a blast.
Okay.
I spend a lot of time in the gym. I really love snowboarding. I really love skateboarding.
Okay. Now, the time you spend in the gym, I saw that you've done 75 hard
right
a few times.
Right.
What got you started on that?
I was on my mission, actually. I served a 2-year mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And one of my buddies had sent me Andy Frisella's podcast. And I had no idea what it was. I had no idea who he was. But my buddy was like, yeah, I'm going to start this. So listen to it. So I listened to it. And it was basically just talking about how in 75 days you could transform your whole mental health and your physique. And I was like, dude, might as well give it a shot. And I did it once and my life completely changed. And I just, I've done it a couple times. And every single time I've done it, my whole life has moved forward. And so I've just found that that's a great way for me to kind of push my life forward.
I love that. How do you balance doing 75 hard with going out and doing your interviews? I tried 75 hard for a few weeks and I went out on a trip to Missouri and didn't get my second workout in.
Yeah.
Because we were going and moving and went out jet skiing and they're like, you could count that. And I was like,
right,
I don't
right.
really count
yeah,
that
yeah, yeah.
as a second workout. So how do you find time to work all the two workouts in, the reading and everything?
Mm-hmm. At first it was tough. I was like, man, like my day is just extremely long because I got to get all these things in. But over time, as I started to lock in, it started to make more time for me because I would wake up earlier, I would get everything done, and I would already be in that productive state, and then I would have the rest of the day to work. And so my balance came from doing 75 hard. And I realized that when I was doing that and I was on a disciplined schedule, I was actually able to get more work done and be more productive. So I feel like that's what kind of opened me to being able to work as hard as I needed to find success.
Okay. I love that. I think that's crucial because for me, just going to the gym at least once a day sets me up for success during the day.
Right. Absolutely.
I can't miss a day. Like Sundays, I'm like, okay, day of rest, but I'm like active recovery. I have to do something. Because I could miss one day and then I feel like I've gained 50 pounds.
Right.
And I'm like, no matter what, I got to get there. Some days I'll drive and I'll sit in the parking lot and I'm like, why am I here?
Right.
The gym is packed. I'm like, I don't even want to
be here. I don't
want
to be in there.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm hungry. Football's going on. And so I just have to get in my head and like get in, get it done, and get out of there.
Yeah.
I'm curious, in the world that you're in, I work for a company, we work with all influencers.
Okay.
And I'm super curious, when you go to the gym, how do you find time to get through your workout and not be bugged by a million people stopping to either try and talk to you or take pictures with you?
Yeah.
I know some influencers will say, hey, not today, and just go. Some put their hood up and headphones on and they just go to work.
Right.
What do you do in that environment?
I made a promise to myself when I first started that if I ever get to the point where people would recognize me in public, I promised myself that I would always take the time to talk to them. Because when I met some of my favorite creators, influencers, celebrities, sometimes they like were not cool. It like made me so bummed. It's like, dude, I was so stoked to meet this person and they just sucked.
Uh-huh.
And it like made me sad.
Yeah.
And so I promised myself that I would always do the complete opposite. And so I do my best to every time I meet someone to like really meet them and just get to know them. Cause if my favorite celebrity or influencer would have done that to me, I would have been so stoked and it would have inspired me to go chase my dreams. And I think the most important thing for me, as far as why I'm creating content, is to inspire other people to go do what they love and chase their dreams.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a better way to do that than just connect with your fans and just hang out with them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you never know who you talk to that might make an impact on your life.
Right.
Like they're wanting to meet you and take a picture and say hi, but you never know the person's story.
Yeah.
And I think that's the cool thing about making time to talk to everybody.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. We live in Utah County and there are some annoying kids at EOS. But there's also some great kids that work out there.
And most of the time ends up doing more for me than it does for them. Just seeing that one person watch my video and like wanted to talk to me just gets me so stoked to go make more videos. And even if it adds another 15, 20 minutes to my workout, if I can have that connection with someone, I'm always down for that.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, congrats. I keep seeing you blow up and more people following you and posting. And it's an exciting thing to see. I think Utah is underrated for content creation and influencers. I think there's a lot of people in Utah who are trying to be fitness influencers. And I feel like it's half the gym.
Right.
But there's also a lot out there who are making really cool content that you can watch, that you can follow. I guess for you is what is next on that journey of content creation?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to say there's so much talent in Utah. It blows my whole mind. Like, even all the kids I grew up with, they are so talented. And so I see all these kids making videos, and Utah is for sure underrated.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, what's next? I have a lot of dreams, but my goal right now is YouTube. And I want to get to the top of the YouTube game. I want to be one of the biggest YouTubers ever. I want to have a very large YouTube audience, because on YouTube, I feel like, is where my audience gets to know more of me and the real me, instead of just like the 60-second interviews. It's more of behind the scenes, like what I do in a day, like more vlog style. And that is more fun for me to film. And so my dream right now is just to get to the top of YouTube.
Okay. And what are those for someone getting started and wanted to get into the game of content creation and everything and get to a point where they can start creating YouTube? What advice would you give that person?
Just start. I think when you first start making videos, if you have that dream, it's so tough because people love hating. People love negativity. And social media is just full of hate and negativity. Uh-huh. And when you first start and you're not that good, you post one video and you just get ripped apart in the comments. And everyone's like, stop, like, just quit. Like, yeah. What are you doing? And it's hard. It's super hard. But if you can get through that, and you can learn how to really tell a story and how to really put a video together, then that's when your life is going to change. And most people have those dreams for a reason. Like, I believe that everyone who has a dream to make content, I believe that it's inspired by God. And I think if you give up because it gets hard, then you're not fulfilling your purpose of becoming like God. And that's the whole reason why we're here. Yeah. So I would say just start and don't give up.
No, I agree with you. I got doing my podcast and creating content, and you know, it gets taxing. You sit in front of a camera, and some days you're like, I am not in the mood to do this. But I went to a gym down in St. George, and a kid stopped me. Hey, I just got off a mission. I saw one of your videos. I had a girl stop me at the grocery store, and I'm like, those little interactions, it's like, okay, that's why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Even if it only impacts one person. When I graduated high school, I set a goal. I wanted to impact 1 billion lives. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I'm like, it's I'm a high school senior. And so now I realize that there's so many different platforms and ways that we can reach people just by sitting in a room.
Right.
And you never know whose video gets shared here. And the thing that's crazy about social media is you're right about the negative comments. And what people don't understand is social media doesn't dictate a negative and a positive comment. I'm like, guys, every time you comment something negative, you're still helping the engagement on the
page. Right.
I'm like, keep commenting because you're helping the engagement. You're getting the algorithm going. People don't realize that, you know, you're actually helping the person.
Yeah.
And so my thing is, I always love to go through and find one negative comment. And once a week, I'll message that person.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, just wanted to wish you the best and hope you win this week. And they don't know how to interact with
right,
that.
Right.
Their trolls are usually looking for that back and forth.
Yeah.
And
they want the reaction out of you.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm just going to celebrate with you. You can love me or hate me. Guess what? You still watched my content.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same concept of. Have you mumbled to Andy Elliott before?
I haven't, no.
So his whole concept of wearing short shorts, he's like, once someone has seen me and they focus and their attention's there, he's like, now I have you.
Yeah.
I'm in your mind and you're thinking about me. And so everyone has their little thing that they do that hooks people. And then once you hook them is, what is your message? Going to follow. Right. I remember one of the things that Ray Lewis said is he talked about having platforms and having tons of followers. And he said, you can have millions, thousands of followers, but at the end of the day, what is your message? Because if you don't have a message that resonates with people, if you don't have something that impacts people, then why have followers?
Right.
It's an interesting game.
Yeah.
I'm still learning social media. I'm way behind you, but I'm, you know, my goal is just one video at a time, one post at a time.
Yeah.
I want to dive and kind of change the subject a little bit. You said you served a 2-year mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Correct.
I'm super curious on how that experience was and how that impacted your life.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was the best 2 years of my life. It was during COVID, and so I actually spent all 2 years creating videos, just filming people's stories about how they found God and how it changed their whole entire life. And it set me up for the path that I'm on now, because I learned how to tell a story. I learned how to do interviews. I learned how to put together meaningful videos. And when I came back, I just had all the talents that I needed to be able to go do that for myself in my career. And so it was an incredible experience. It was where I learned my true purpose. It was where I found Jesus Christ. And it was the best 2 years of my life. Absolutely.
I love that. Cause so many people, a mission during COVID was a negative experience.
Yeah.
Cause they're like, I'm stuck in the apartment.
Right.
I can't go anywhere. But I love how you looked at the positives and you use that to your advantage. What, I guess if you had to say this was my biggest takeaway from my mission, whether it's someone you met or a video you created or a story you heard, what would you say that was?
I think the biggest thing that I learned is how in control God is of our lives. And I found that every single thing that happens in your life is used for your good. And I just realized how in the details God really is. And I started to find that my talents and my desires and my skills were all given to me by God. And he gave them to me so I could make a difference in the world, or at least I could attempt to make a difference in the world. And I just found so much purpose in knowing that there was someone that believed in me and was always there for me.
Mm-hmm. And no matter what mistakes we make,
yeah,
no matter what dumb things we do, he's always there.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's the beautiful thing, is because we'll make friends and we'll meet people. And when we slip up, make mistakes, those people aren't there.
Right.
But we always will have God in our corner, whether we even deserve him or not.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the beautiful thing about this life. And it's, I think, a lesson that we can all learn, that as dark as it may be, no matter what demons we're facing, God is there and he's just waiting for us to go to him.
Yeah.
I'm curious, and you went to high school in Utah and graduated here. Mental health is a big thing that people are struggling with in Utah, especially, I'd say, those in their 20s. I'm super curious if you've dealt with any mental health issues or been around people and how that impacted you.
Yeah. So my dad is actually a hypnotherapist. Okay. And so he does hypnosis to help people with depression and anxiety and addictions. And so I've seen a lot of people close to me that have struggled with mental health, and I've seen it tear them apart, but I've also seen it completely transform their lives when they're able to get help through God. I've definitely struggled with my mental health. I think being in social media, you're just surrounded by people posting their best lives, and you're just going through, you're constantly comparing yourself to them. You're wondering if you're good enough to do it. You scroll through the comments and everyone's just beating you up. Like it's really easy to get negative.
Yeah.
And so I've struggled with that a lot, but I've also known my whole entire life that Jesus Christ can heal anything in your life. And so whenever I start to struggle, whenever I start to get those feelings that I'm not good enough, every time I turn to God, it's always like a fresh start. And so I think that's one of the most important things that we can learn, is that God can help you with whatever you're struggling with.
Yeah, that's huge. I have quite a bit of friends who are going through different things in their lives. And I think there's a stigma of, either as a man, showing emotion. They don't want to show emotion because they think it makes them look weak.
Right.
But also, a lot of people are scared to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know where to go. What advice would you give to someone out there who like is just struggling and they don't either want to show the emotions or they're too scared to ask for help?
Pray, bro. Prayer is the most incredible thing in the world. It blows my mind that sometimes I can be having the worst day. I can be going through whatever I'm going through, and I'll just go on a 45-minute walk outside and I'll just pray out loud and have a conversation with God. And not only are you speaking to the person who created the universe, but you're also speaking out loud so your subconscious mind can understand all of these feelings in your mind. And when you're doing that, you're able to sort through all of those problems and kind of find a solution. And so it's almost like a win-win. And I think that's what I would tell anyone. Like, first step, like go to God.
Go to God. I think that's crucial, because he knows us better than anyone else on this planet.
Yeah.
And he knows what is to come for each of us. And yeah. I'm like, why not go to him and ask for advice or ask for help?
He created us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the beautiful thing about the world that we're in. And the biggest lesson I think we can all learn is, we're on this earth for one reason, and one reason alone, and that's to learn and to be tested.
Yeah.
And so while you are battling demons and struggling with things, I'm like, that's the purpose of this life.
The whole purpose.
You can't say you want to be like Jesus if you want everything to be perfect.
Right.
You have to step a little bit into his shoes and walk the things that he walked. And I'm like, guys, the amount that he suffered, we will never come close to. So this little problem that you have, it can be dealt with if you ask for help, if you turn to God. I have to catch myself because I lived in Africa for 7 years of my life. And so some days I have to catch myself and I'm like, wait a second, you have electricity, you have running water. Like, all the things I'm complaining about are first world problems.
Right.
When there's people out there who are happy, who are humble, who are amazing people, and they don't have, you know, a computer in their hand.
Yeah.
They don't have running water they can just turn the faucet on. And so sometimes I have to catch myself and be like, wait a second. Is this really going to ruin your day and your week?
Yeah.
And if not, then okay, let's move on. Let's think about something else.
Yeah. I think it's tough because I think Satan does his very best to try and get us to believe the lie that he puts into our mind that, like, we're not happy or we don't have enough. And so fighting that spiritual battle, I think, is very tough.
Yeah.
And even if you have everything, money, fame, wealth, whatever it is, Satan is so good at trying to get you to feel like it's not enough.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where the battle comes in most of our lives. Like, whether you recognize it or not, like, that is what you have to fight every single day.
Exactly. And I think it was Joseph Fielding Smith who said, the nearer a man or a woman come to God, the greater the power made manifest by the adversary to prevent the accomplishments of that person. So for you, you're making social media, you're growing, you're fulfilling your dream. Satan starts throwing in those trolls and those negative comments
because
he wants to stop you from fulfilling your dream.
Yeah.
And I think people need to realize that when we are working towards our dreams and the things that make us happy, that's when Satan's working his hardest to stop us, to get intervene on whatever we're trying to do. And I think that's so crucial to understand that there's a reason it's happening.
The reason that Satan is working so hard is because of how much potential you have.
Exactly.
If you didn't, then he wouldn't be working on
you. Exactly. If Satan's not bothering you ever, you're doing something wrong.
Right.
I'm like, you better readjust and check your life because you need to change it. Because if Satan's not there, he's happy.
Yeah.
He's done his part. He's won his battle. Huge. I want to ask you, with as much as you do for social media and travel and do interviews, I'm assuming you're dating.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Super serious relationship?
Yeah, we've been dating for about 16 months.
Okay. Wifey?
We're getting really close.
Okay. So my question for you is, with all that you're doing, how do you remain present in her life?
Yeah.
And show up for her and balance your dream?
Sometimes it's tough because I think the relationships in your life are the most important thing in your life. But it's also tough because you have to provide a way to take care of the people in your life. And so it definitely is hard finding a balance between working and spending time with them. I think if you can get on a schedule where you are productive in the early hours of the day and have the evenings to spend time with your family or with your girlfriend, I think that's the best thing that you can do because those relationships will build you. They will provide a foundation of support. And without that, you can't really achieve your dreams. It's pretty hard to do that on your own. But it is hard sometimes to find that balance because sometimes you just want to work. But I think having that foundation of support is the best way to work.
Yeah. No, I like that. I like that, the idea of having balance and having that foundation. Does she support you in your, I guess, your dreams of content creation?
She does.
Okay.
She's incredible.
Does she travel with you?
Sometimes.
Okay.
It's hard. Sometimes I only get like a plus one, so I got to take my filmer.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to build it up so she can be the filmer and then go with me all the time.
You should tell them, listen, I need plus two.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I need my girl by my side and then my filmer Amen. Here.
Amen.
And, you know, and then you guys sharing that experience together. I think that's beautiful. And I think it's important for us to be present for those in our lives that mean the
most. Yeah. Well, what do you think? I'm sure I feel like I'm pretty young. And so I struggle with trying to find that balance. Like, how have you found the best way to balance your relationships versus work?
It's tough because I'm a workaholic.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, I had some buddies chew me out because we looked up our average screen time, and my buddy's average screen time was 6 hours a day.
Okay.
Mine was 13.
Okay.
Yeah, he ripped me a new one, and I had to explain to him, when you work with people that are all on social media, it's not like I'm just doom scrolling, but right. I'm like, you're looking what's trending, what's happening, yeah. what's everything. And so, you know, we had a great conversation, and it was tough. I had to look myself in the mirror, and I'm like, do you really need to be on the phone this much? What can I pull back? What can I restrain? And I think it's just understanding the concept of being where your feet are. If I'm at dinner with a friend, if I'm at dinner with a girlfriend, if I'm at dinner, whatever, with a client even, everything else can wait. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be present in that moment and dedicate that time to them and make sure that I'm not just listening to what they're saying, but I'm hearing. I think that's big, because you can sit there and you can listen all night long.
Yeah.
But to truly hear means, okay, they've said something to me that resonates with me, but I'm going to give that feedback to help that point that they were just making.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's understanding that there's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the hard thing where I'm at the gym. Between sets, you want to answer a work text or an email and everything. But I'm like, if I focus solely on working out, I don't have to be at the gym for 3 hours. I can be here for an hour and get away. And so I think it's really understanding how to honor and respect your time. Our biggest asset, most valuable asset in our life is our time, because we don't get our time back.
Mm.
And so every morning you look at, how am I going to spend the time today? I think also it's setting time apart to do the things that you love. I think it's tough because when we look at time, you look at something and be like, wait, I could go and make money and do this.
Yeah.
But going on a walk, you're not making any money. There's no real ROI except something that helps your mental health,
mm-hmm.
gives you a chance to get away and disconnect from the electronics. And so I think you have your mind in the right place. And you're starting there. It's just the deeper you get into the game of social media, the bigger your career grows. That's when the challenge becomes on, okay, maybe we should go take a weekend, just me and my girlfriend.
Yeah.
No work, no interviews, just us. And we're just going to connect
right.
and have a great
right.
time.
I love that.
And so it's, you know, it's finding time to do that. And, you know, for me, I'm at a place where I want to give more than I take.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking at, who can I spend time with? How can I give them an experience that they will enjoy and they won't forget? And it doesn't have to be something crazy expensive, but it's just understanding this person means this in my life. And so I want to give them an experience they will never forget. And so I think it's also that notion of, if you give more than you take, there's also an energy that you get. I mean, you look at Jesus and the amount that he gave and he blessed and he showed up for people, no matter who they were.
Yeah.
And, you know, I find my time, and it's hard because I find my time giving to a lot of people. And with my therapists and my coaches I work with, I've also had to learn to balance on not self-sacrificing. You know, you can give so much to other people, but then you've neglected yourself.
Right.
And so that's just what I would say is, be where your feet are. Learn to give, but also be careful not to self-sacrifice too much.
Yeah.
Because when you do that, it becomes unhealthy.
Yeah. Amen, man. Amen.
I think it's, you know, it's just crucial. I'm going to go a little deep with you on the question.
Let's do it.
Real quick. Because I've spent quite a bit of time for work out in LA. And I'm in this world of influencers. Obviously, those of us who've served LDS missions, some of the values and things that you see in those worlds don't align with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious on, how have you kept your value system when put into those environments?
Yeah. I'm going to be completely honest. Most of the people that I meet when I'm traveling and going to these events, I just don't love being around them. And when I get in one of those environments, I realize that I don't want to be there. And so I do my best when I'm traveling. I go to the event, I get done what needs to get done, and then I kind of just bounce and go do my own thing. It helps when you have friends that are with you and that have those same morals as you, because mm-hmm. it's definitely not easy. But when you have homies that are there supporting you and know what's right, and you are both in tune with God, then it's pretty easy. And you just have to remember what you stand for. You have to stay close to God, Because if you got God on your side, then you can do anything.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the biggest thing is understanding you have the right circle and friends around you, because you need to have friends that will celebrate with you, but also friends that will call you out when they're like, wait a second, you don't drink.
Yeah.
Why do you have a drink in your hand?
Yeah.
Or you don't do this. They're willing to call you into integrity because they know the man that you are, the values that you have, and the goals that you've set. And they're not scared to step up and be like, okay, listen, that's not who you are.
Yeah.
You need to make a change.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do.
It is tough. It is tough.
Because sometimes you don't want to say that. But if you truly care about your friends, the truth hurts.
Yeah.
But it's needed.
Right. I think that, at least for me, the reason I've gotten to where I've gotten is because of God. He has opened every single door for me. He's brought me all these opportunities. And if you understand that, then you know as long as you continue to do the things that he has asked you to do, then he's going to continue to open doors and continue to bring you more opportunities. And so if you have that understanding that everything that you have comes from God, then you don't really want to do anything to jeopardize that, because that's your whole entire future. And I think that's the best way we can look at things, because I think sometimes it's so easy to get caught up and be like, oh, I did this, I accomplished this. But did you really?
Yeah.
Like, the person that created you is the one ordaining all of your footsteps. And if you can understand that, then you're going to go a lot farther than you think you can just by yourself.
Yeah, no, that's big. I think it's true. Too many times we try to take on this world by ourselves when we don't need to.
Yeah.
Whether it's your circle, it's your friends, whether it's a coach or a therapist or even just turning to God.
Mm-hmm.
Or a religious leader. I mean, there's people in place in our lives to help us. And it's the balancing act of, you have to be willing to invest into yourself. Because hiring a coach and working with someone, it's not cheap.
Yeah.
But I look at the long-term ramifications if you didn't do that. You know, my biggest expense each month is my coaches and the people that I work
really?
With. But I know it is a needed necessity in my life. I got to a point where so many things, I would either get triggered or my stuff would flare up and I'm like, okay, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
And so I call it my dream team. And I have a life coach. I work with a human behavior specialist. I have a spiritual coach. I have all these different things. And I'm like, this is my dream team. And whenever I need something, I know I can reach out to one of them and I can talk about something. I can grab lunch and talk it through. It's been amazing. Because I tell myself, one of the things I struggle a lot with in my life is anger. And I'm like, if I didn't work on that, I'm going to do something stupid and end up in jail, end up hurting someone. And I always say, the cost of that is far more than what I'm spending monthly to work with these people. And so it's been a mind shift, because you're like, in your head, you're like, there's so many other things I could put this money towards. But I'm like, I'm going to invest in myself. It's the same thing with you going to the gym and working out, taking care of your body. Because down the line, you're not going to have all these medical bills that come up if you're overweight or out of shape and different things. And so I'm like, invest now when you're young, when you're coming up. And by doing that in the future, you're setting yourself up for success. I think it's huge.
Dang, bro, I'm behind. I don't got any coaches or nothing. I got to get on that.
Have you thought about hiring like a coach or a mentor? Or you just diving into the deep end by yourself?
Bro, I'm gonna be honest, I haven't really thought about it. I got people in my life that I look up to and that I go to all the time, but I've never really thought about it. I've thought about like having a therapist kind of to like talk everything through with, but haven't done anything yet.
Who would you say are the three biggest either content creators or influencers that you look up to?
Danny Duncan.
Okay.
Nelk. And I don't know who's maybe Balen Levine, if you know who any of them are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you connected with any of them?
I've been in contact with some of them and I've met some of them, but not on like a deep level.
Have you thought about reaching out and being like, I want you to mentor me. I don't care what it costs, but I want you to mentor me and help me walk through this process.
I haven't at all.
Why not?
Dude, I don't know. I think sometimes I try. I don't want to bug them. I don't want to like get on the bad side of them, because like when you're that big, it's just fans after fans after fans, like trying to bang your line, like trying to get something from you. And so I try and stay away, because I don't want to like come off as one of those fans who's just trying to use them. But eventually in the future, like if I had a closer relationship with them, I think that would be incredible.
So the thing is, if you were to go to them and be like, hey, I want you to mentor me for free, that's a whole different ballgame than if you go to them saying, hey, I'm willing to pay.
Yeah.
I'm willing to step up to the plate, whatever it takes for you to mentor me. That's completely different.
Yeah.
Because now you've respected and honored their time. Now you're no longer just a fan.
Yeah.
Too many people in this world, we try to get everything for free.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, give me. And I'm like, if I were you, I'd approach them. Hey, I want you guys to mentor me. I'm willing to pay. But also, how can you add value to their lives?
Yeah.
Because it may not have to be money that you bring to them. But there's something there of value that you can bring to them and show up for them. That's like, oh, wait a second. He's coming and adding value.
Mm-hmm.
I want to mentor and take him under and help him come up and be at the same level as us.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea at all. I think sometimes I'm just so obsessed with gaining that experience so I can do it on my own. And sometimes I feel like the content that they're creating is enough of a mentor to, they're showing me exactly how to do it and they're doing it every single day. But I think having someone like that to be in your life and kind of guide you through it definitely would be an incredible thing.
Let me ask you, do you like to cook?
I do. I do love to cook.
So I want you to picture we're in a kitchen and you're about to bake brownies.
Yeah.
If I gave you the recipe, could you make the brownies?
Yes.
So the biggest thing is you have the recipe. You see what they're making. You understand it. It makes brownies. Why change the recipe?
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing I tell people is find people that have the recipe and then follow it.
Right.
Learn from them. Because if you're trying to get that same end product, why try to add these different ingredients and spices and different things when, like, get the recipe from them, follow it, and you get the end product?
Yeah.
Now, you may bake your own cake in the future, but I'm like, why not reach out and get that recipe?
Right.
And then take it, and then who knows, you know, the collaborations that happen or how you could blow up.
Yeah. Nah, bro, I'm going to get the brownie recipe.
I love it. Let's make some brownies.
Let's make some brownies.
Not some edible brownies, but let's make some brownies while we're at it. I want to ask, in your world, in your circle, how do you protect your time and your space? And what I mean by that is, how do you control the people you let into your life?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you get hit up by people all the time,
mm-hmm,
that want your time, that want to, you know, I want to hang out with you and everything because they want to, you know, they want to be on a video or they want to do all of
right.
that. How do you filter?
Dude, I'm going to be honest. I'm a pretty closed off person. Like, I love my alone time. I love just getting work done and just being by myself. And so it is tough for me to kind of have an open mind about who to let into my circle, especially when there are people that want to be in your circle.
Yeah.
But I do my best to spend time with as many people as I can and just observe the way I feel when I'm around them. And if someone is building me up and is pushing me to be better and is helping me to accomplish my dreams, then that's someone I'm going to want to spend my time with. And so I've found over the last year, the people that I've spent the most time around are people that are building me into the person that I know I'm supposed to be. And so sometimes it takes some trial and error. You got to spend some time with some people. Sometimes you realize that they probably won't help you to get to the person that you're trying to be, yeah, but sometimes they will.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to keep an open mind and spend time with people because, yeah, you never know how someone's going to affect your life.
And I've learned, you know, the people I have in my life, I'm like, they are connected to other great people, really good people. And what I've learned is that once I build that relationship and I have that friendship, the people they introduce me to or bring around me are generally good people.
Yeah.
Because they know that they want to honor and protect my time. I mean, when I had Ruben on my podcast, he came in the morning and then you guys went on your trip to California.
Oh, okay.
And then the crazy thing is I was boating a few weeks later, and one of the guys in my coaching group, he's like, yo, I invited some friends. You're going to love them. They're going to come boating with us. So I go back to the dock to pick them up, and it's Ruben.
No way.
I'm just like, it's such a small world when you start connecting with the right people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you have these great conversations, and you realize these are all humans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people may see you as, hey, here's the kid that mumbles to all these influencers and celebrities. But I'm like, guys, he's a normal kid. He has his struggles. He has his challenges. He has a normal life. He just happens to be killing the game of content.
Yeah.
How do you keep yourself humble?
Dude, I feel like God does does a pretty good job at keeping me humble. I feel like I wake up every single day and I just see so many things to improve on. And so I focus on those. But I also do think it's important to recognize your accomplishments, but not spend too many times.
Yeah.
It's too much time on your accomplishments. But I feel like just about every single day, God is keeping me humble.
I love that. I think that's true. I want to open it up. I did this on a podcast the other day, and I'm going to try it with you. I'm going to put you on the spot for a second.
Okay.
So we're going to shift roles for a second.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you a chance to ask me a question.
Okay.
Could be any question in the world that you can think of. But yeah, just give you an open floor.
Okay. How many total people have you interviewed? Do you know?
45.
Okay. So about 50 people. Yeah. You've probably had a lot more conversations that in total in your life. Through these interviews and through these conversations, what do you think has been the biggest thing that you have learned?
I think I probably would put it in three things. I think the first one is just to be authentic. I've met so many amazing people and traveled the world, and you see these people on social media and you're thinking, no, is that really how that person is? Then you sit down with them and you're like, wow, this person is who they say they are. They're 100% authentic. But it also goes back to something you said. I've also sat down with people and I'm like, they are nothing on what they portray on social media.
Right.
And that lesson from that was be authentic. Because then when you meet people, you are who you say you are, and there's a better connection that way. I think the other thing is you can learn something from everybody. Of all the people that I've talked to, whenever I go to the event, I make it a purpose to meet whoever's holding the event, to meet their assistant and have a conversation with them. Because most people, you go in and you're trying to connect with that celebrity influencer, and who cares about their team and everything? And I'm like, the assistant who put this all together is still a person, and there's something I can learn from them.
Right.
They may not have a social media presence, but who cares?
Right.
And so it's understanding that everyone has a little golden nugget that you can share, but being willing to listen and then hear and then apply it to my life. And so I think making time for everybody that I find in a room. And then I think the last one is just learn to be present. And what I mean by that is there's so many things that I could be doing today to work. There's so many things that you could be doing. But right now we're both here doing a podcast and we're present and we're here in the moment and honoring each other's times. And so I think it's just wherever you are, wherever your feet are, show up and play all out.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love it. I think doing a podcast is so interesting because when you're listening to the other person talk, when I'm listening to you talk, I have so many thoughts. You say one thing, I'm like, oh, I could go that route. Like, oh, I could go this route. But you have to like be able to listen and like understand them. So when they do ask a question, like you're able to answer it. But it's crazy how many thoughts I have. They just like keep going, keep coming.
Well, and you know, when I first started, you have like this list of questions. Right. And you want to sit here and go back to the list. And I've learned to just wherever the conversation takes you,
the flow.
You know, that's either where God wants the message to go.
Yeah.
But number two is people just want to see a normal conversation. They don't want to see something scripted and you're reading off a piece of paper. And, you know, my biggest thing on this podcast is I want people to understand everyone's a regular person. And there's no matter what they're known for, the story of the person behind that. And that's the part that excites me and that I have fun with is I get to talk to so many amazing people and just connect and then learn.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm obviously older than you, but there's a million things that I'm learning from you. And in my head, I'm like, okay, do this, apply this.
How old are you?
31.
31.
Which is like 70 when you're 31 and you're unmarried in Utah County.
Yeah.
You're like the Antichrist. It's like, wait a second. Why are you not married?
For real, bro.
The crazy thing for me is I'm like, most of my friend group got married super young.
Okay.
And I've always been the one that's not married. Well, half of them are divorced by now or single dads. And I'm like, you're all in the same spot as me. You just have to pay child support now and have to deal with all these things.
Facts, bro. That's facts.
You know, and it's hard because the society and the culture that we're in, you're taught to get married, start a family. And I've always been a firm believer of the right one will come.
Yeah.
And when she does, you'll know. But don't rush into it because someone's telling you to.
Yeah.
You'll know when it's right and when it feels right, and that's when you do jump in.
Yeah. I think that goes for everything in your life. I remember growing up, I was in high school. Senior year hits, I'm doing internships, I'm filling out all these college applications, and I'm doing all of these things because that's what everyone told me that I'm supposed to do. And I remember it just hit me. I was like, bro, I'm supposed to go do another 4 years of school just to get in debt and go find a job that I don't really want to do. Like, why is everyone telling me to do this? And that's when I decided that I wanted to do something meaningful with my life, and I wanted to create videos, and I wanted to do something out of the ordinary. But it's hard. It is so hard because not a lot of people believe in you. Yeah. And it was probably one of the hardest things that I've ever done, getting past that. But bro, once you get past it, it is the most incredible feeling of your whole entire life. Yeah. Knowing you did what you wanted to do and you accomplished something hard and you started your own life. You didn't do what everyone was telling you to do. That's when you find your true purpose.
Well, and the crazy thing about college is when I was your age, everyone, you went on a mission, you came back, you went to school, and that's what you did. And having, you know, I went to Utah Valley, graduated from Utah Valley. Every job that I've interviewed, I've never once, here's my degree, here's my diploma. Yeah, bro. Like, it looks good on your wall.
Yeah.
And that's about it. I was lucky enough that I didn't have to take out loans for college. Yeah. But I'm like, at the end of the day, it's a piece of paper, because people don't really care so much what you know. It comes down to who you know.
Yeah.
Because if you have someone that can vouch for your character and your work ethic and the value that you can bring to any company, they're going to hire you.
Yeah.
No matter what. And so, you know, that's the hard thing when I talk to kids who are, I need to go to school. But I'm like, do you really?
Yeah.
I feel like it's shifting now. You know, I'm not saying sit at home and don't sit in your parents' basement and play video games all day. But if you have something that you're called to do and you can be successful in it, why not go and chase it?
Right.
Rather than sit in a room and force yourself to be somewhere you don't want to be.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I think school's great. I think if you want to become a doctor, you want to become a lawyer, and you need a degree to get to that job, by all means, go finish school, go work hard. But bro, if you don't know what you want to do and you are just filling your time by paying money to sit in a classroom, I do not think that is how you fulfill your purpose in life. Yeah. And bro, my most anxious times in my life is when I was stressing out about a test that was never going to benefit me in the future. Uh-huh. Like, these things that I was like stressing about, studying for, never once have I learned them. I graduated high school. I didn't even know how to pay my taxes. Like, they didn't even teach me how to live my life. Uh-huh. And to do that for another 4 years and then be stressing about your finances in the process, bro, that does not sound like a fun life.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Because the other hard part, especially when you go on an LDS mission, is you graduate high school, then you go on a mission for 2 years where you don't have to worry about bills or paying anything or making an income. You're solely just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to people, and that's all your focus. Then you get thrust back into a normal life where I have to have an income, I have to pay bills, I have car payments, all these different things that you have to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, it can become overwhelming for kids.
Yeah. And if you end up doing something you don't love for the rest of your life, you're going to be struggling.
Oh, you're unhappy every
morning. You're going to be so unhappy.
I picked up my boss from LA the other day, and one of the first things he said to me, he got in the car, he was like, don't you love just waking up and working for a company that helps people? And, you know, when you love what you do and you can see the impact and what it does for people's lives, it gets you out of bed every morning.
Yeah.
You know, when you're dragging your feet. When I was in college, I worked for a window washing company, and it great boss, great company, paid the bills. But who wants to be on a ladder all day in the sun washing freaking windows?
Right.
I hate heights anyways.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was a necessity. It was a needs to an end. And so it's so crucial that you find what you love and you're passionate about, and then you go out and you just do it.
Yeah. I personally believe that God did not create us to spend 12 hours of our day at a desk working for someone else.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how you find your true potential. And I think jobs are good, especially if you're trying to figure out what you want to do and you need to get started on something. They're incredible. They're amazing. But for your future, that is not how you become the best version of yourself.
Oh, that's so true. I mean, just everyone is aspiring to be entrepreneurs, and there's so many great ideas out there.
Yeah.
I mean, go back, what is it, 10, 15 years? Who would have thought a soda company and cookie companies would make bank? I'm like, let me go back and just give people sodas and I'll be rich. Like, right. It's just insane. But that was an idea someone had and they jumped on it.
Yeah.
And they found a market and they're like, wait, Mormon moms love Diet Coke. Let me create a drive thru.
Add some cream to that.
Exactly. And it became a huge,
yeah,
huge phenomenon. I mean, it's just insane. I mean, there's a Swig by my house. And it's just insane. That line is always packed.
It's unbelievable.
And man, they ain't getting the small one. It's always the giant cup.
Yeah.
I want to end my podcast with this. I ask every person I have on is, none of us know when it's checkout time or when God calls us back. And I'm curious for you is, even at this young age, through everything that you've done and that you do, how would you want people to remember you?
Dang, that's a tough question. I want people to remember me by the kid that chased his dreams and inspired other people to do the same. And I want everyone in the world to know that the position that I got myself in had nothing to do with me and everything to do with God. And I want people to remember me as the person who always stood for what was right and never gave in to what the world was telling me to give into.
I love that. I think everything that you stand for and everything you want to be remembered for, I honestly could sum it up in, you are someone who loved deeply. Whether it was your relationship with your Father in heaven, with your Savior, your girlfriend, with your career, everything that you do and strive to do, you love deeply. Even connecting with your fans. You talked about it. You make time for them when you don't have to. They're not promised anything. You don't owe them anything. But you love deeply because you are rooted in your belief of, this is my mission given to me by God, and I'm going to play full out. So I appreciate you taking the time, brother, to come on the podcast.
Yeah, bro, absolutely. This was incredible.
Thank you. Thank you, big dog.
Should we end with some wisdom?
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Should we each talk about one piece of advice we want to give to the world?
Yeah.
All right, you start us off.
Piece of advice.
Got to end with a banger. We got to end with a banger.
Let me think on that. What's the best piece of advice I'd give to the world? I think it would be, and I talked about this earlier, is give more than you take. So many times we wake up and there's so many things that we want to do. We want to get a paycheck. We want to buy this. We want to do that. But we don't take time to look at those around us who may be in need. I was at basketball the other night. I have a group of friends that I play with. And one of the kids in the group, you know, was talking about he hadn't eaten everything. And at the root of the problem, the kid just doesn't have the income to buy a ton of food. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dog, let us help you. Like, if you're struggling for that, let us step up and let us help you and let us give. I don't need anything in return. I don't need anything. But there is a power and there's a love when you give and you show up for the people in your lives. And so I think it's just my advice to everyone out there is look to give. All right, my man. What wisdom do you have? That's the real question.
That was beautiful. I love it. I love it. My wisdom. If I could tell the world one thing. You can do anything that you put your mind to. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And if you can control your thoughts and align those thoughts with God and then do what it takes every single day to become better and to serve and to do uncomfortable things, you will accomplish so many great things in this world and you will fulfill anything that you choose to fulfill. And don't give up.
That's huge.
No matter how hard it gets, never give up.
It's huge. I love that. For a second, I thought you were going to start mumbling. I'm like, he's about to give
bro,
his wisdom.
I missed my opportunity.
And
what am I doing?
I'm like, he's giving real wisdom. All right, guys, hey, he didn't mumble. So, no, awesome episode. Thank you. Hey, guys, give this episode a listen. Easton is showing up and sharing his story and what he loves to do and what drives him and his passion. And so he took a break from the mumbling today to deliver some content to you.
I did. Yeah, we got together. We started talking. It was like all people, especially for like all the questions like we did before. Like when you did like ask them, it was good. It was great.
That's awesome. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for tuning in to Man on the Mic. We appreciate you spending your time with us today. Remember, our podcast is available on all platforms, so you can listen anytime, anywhere. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated. New episodes drop every week. Until next time, keep the conversation going. And as always, stay true to yourself. Thanks for watching.